There was a lot of energy and excitement around raising questions around neoliberalism. And then there were some of us who felt like, yes, that's true. However, we felt like we needed to link these issues of global capital to conditions of people of color in the U.S. One of the most prevalent places to make that kind of association was related to the prison industrial complex, because, you know, you couldn't talk about racism, white supremacy, capitalism, and not talk about the prison industrial complex. We had to be like, look, we are bringing what this movement does not have, which is people of color, predominantly young people of color, predominantly female-bodied people of color and queer people of color and poor people of color, who are coming to this action from, you know, our own particular experiences, our own analysis, which is completely, you know, different from the analysis that is currently existing and that has value.
And they had a space for us to, you know what I mean, where we could pick it if we chose, right? Of course, we paid no attention to that, and we decided we were just going to spread across the city and really bring the city to a halt. And even with the hundreds of arrests before really the actions took place, we still managed to shut down the city for hours. You know what I mean? Hours. Like, I remember some kind of interview, and I remember us laughing hysterically because they were in, like, really angry that they had to sit in their car for, like, hours and hours. And I'm like, but that was kind of the point. Of course, again, you know, the message is, like, our purpose is not to just make sure that you understand what we're saying. Our purpose is to try to disrupt your event and to make sure that you're not going to get around us easily, you know. So, and we were extremely successful in that point.
We knew that we had to make connections with those women, you know, and I remember there was a woman, one of the lady prisoners was like braiding Plum Blossom's hair. You know, we had people offering us food, you know, asking us, you know, if we needed anything. And, you know, we made a point to sit and talk with them about what was going on, right? What were they watching on television, right? They were like, yeah, we saw those cop cars and, you know, we saw people slashing the tires and, you know, like people were junking these cop cars, and they were really excited about it. They were really excited to see it. But the truth is they had no idea. They had no idea why that was happening. And when they heard us talking about, this is about you, you know, like, why are you here? You know, what is this about? Why is this jail filled with queer women, with Puerto Rican women, with Black women? When they heard us talking about that, you know, they couldn't believe it. You know, so for us to be there in that moment, you know, and make connections with those women was so important.
I think I would have preferred to actually have been not with an activist at that point. We really struggled with each other. She was white, I'm Black, and we just struggled through it. We were locked in a cell together. So where were we going? So the first night, like, she really freaked out, and she actually jumped onto my bed, shaking to death, you know, having to be overnight. And, you know, it was just like, look, we can't make it through this, you know? And I think afterwards, she was like, oh, you know, I feel like you have so much strength. It reminds me of these pictures that I took of these, you know, Black nannies holding the white babies. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, please stop. You know, that was just driving me up the wall, you know? So I was just saying how I don't think those pictures are beautiful. Like, you think those are pictures of beauty and nurturance. And I feel like when I hear of those pictures, I think of, oh, where was that woman's baby? Who was holding her children? Well, she was holding your children, you know? Like, that you're marveling about. And it was very mind-opening for both of us having these conversations. We just had to face each other. And that I think was really powerful. Like, there was nowhere to run, nowhere to move. Like, we had to survive this together and have these conversations together and deal with each other. And we did.
I played somewhat of a lawyer character. I didn't introduce myself as a lawyer, but I definitely acted as if I was representing some of these people that were, you know, in jail. And we were trying to get a head count and trying to get some names of who was being held where. So we would, you know, we would go around from precinct to precinct and just come in, and I would go down with my briefcase and just, you know, ask if I could talk to some of the kids that were arrested. And, you know, I had to talk to the parents. They were very nervous. They wanted to speak to their... I remember, unbeknownst to us, after leaving one of the precincts, we found out, I think, months later, that after we visited a precinct, apparently the cops there thought that, I was a representative of the people that were being inside, and they were probably minors, right? If I had to guess, and they got really scared, and they let a good bunch, I think they let like a good dozen people just out immediately after I visited them, just because I knew they were doing something illegal and they had no proof against these kids, you know.
I think that's the lesson that we need to learn is that direct action is so central to the work of dismantling state and dismantling capitalism. Direct action done correctly can foster solidarity across racial and gender lines. And that's something that we definitely learned. We really need to maintain, the sense of communication and national network and be really innovative in terms of strategy. I think that one of the things that we consistently talk about, we consistently go back to Seattle, you know, but, like, you know, the world has changed in Seattle, and they're learning, the state's, police state's learning curve has increased in Seattle. What are we going to do in terms of, reimagining, our tactics, you know? And I think that's some of the stuff that we got out of RTK. You know, out of RTK, too, also came the birth of Critical Resistance East. I still think that the prison issue is a big issue to us because, when you talk about prison abolition and you talk about prison, restorative justice, you're really talking about, how do we provide solutions to this society,